Will you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, as we are here on the final day of this two-year generosity initiative, the main thing I want to do is to encourage you that in these 2 years, you have hopefully found something that has cemented into your hearts, into your minds, and into your lives, and that is this: a lifestyle of generosity that will continue into the future. Just because we're breaking some ground today doesn't stop God's call for generosity into our lives. And that this lifestyle of generosity, we realized we spend so much time trying to make ourselves good, look good, and eat good, and eat well. I knew that. And do all those things like that. But you know what looks better than anything? And studies have shown it will increase your health across the board. And that is this: living generously. Not just living for yourself, not just hoarding, not just making it all about you, but living generously in overflow to other people. Generosity looks really good on you. We discovered that over the last couple of years. And my prayer is that this lifestyle of generosity would continue into the future and will continue to growing us in our living and growing us closer to God. The world that we live in needs more generous people walking with God. The world we live in needs more generous people who are walking with God. There is so much liminality. For those of you that came in late, that means so much anxiety, and we're kind of in the season where the old stuff, we even have to Google like basic stuff that we know. How many people have Googled something that you really knew the answer to just in the last week besides me? Yeah. And like for some reason, we feel like I don't really know, and there's this incredible feeling of self-doubt. And I think that's because we are moving into some uncharted territory in our lives, in our world. But the fact is, wherever you are, whatever uncharted territory is in front of you, the world needs more generous people walking with God. And there's a lot of new territory on the line here today, new members. We're welcoming in 30 new members in the next hour. And not only new members, but those of us who made commitments to share our faith. If you still need one of the washers as a reminder of the lifesaver, they are on the glass table in behind us. To share our faith with someone that we love. That's breaking new territory for many of us. The new territory of the graduates. You don't know what you're going to be doing September through June anymore. Here's what I want you to do, graduates, because you're going to have a lot of people ask you over the next month and beyond, so what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Here's what I want you to say. I want you to answer them what you're thinking, what your best thinking, what God's best thinking for you is. I want you to answer them what you're going to do with the rest of life, but then I want you to turn it around and say, that's what I'm doing. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Will you pledge to do that with me? Hold your hand up if you're a graduate and you would pledge to do that. Yeah. And I want you to be genuinely respectful and genuinely interested and curious. Because you know what? There's people in this church who are here this morning who are in their 90s. Who have the rest of their life to go. That's uncharted territory, living into your 90s. Let's face it. There's going to be people in their 80s and 70s and 60s on down. And it's all going to be uncharted territory. The truth is, many of us are moving into some very uncharted territory. Let's face it, all of us are, okay? Maybe our status has changed. Maybe our situation has changed. Maybe something in our family has changed. All of us are, or at least all of us have the opportunity to take the next step with God, which means putting our faith in Him for the next step of our lives. So when everyone is stressing out, In this era of the world of liminality, liminal living, just remember subliminal, where you're like walking on a rope bridge and you don't know what in the world, where, how to take your next step. It's okay. It's okay. Be alert and be open. When everyone else is stressing out, don't you be one of them too. Because we know what we know. We don't have to stress out. But God must have known that was going to happen because the way that it's portrayed in Scripture. This issue of uncharted territory is as old as recorded human history. Here's the deal. The people of God, the Israelites, were released. They were in slavery. They were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. And in around the year 1445 BC, the people of God were released from the Pharaoh, king of Egypt at that time. Released from bondage, released from enslavement, released from defeat. And they go into the desert to worship God. See, this happened after the 10th plague, the plague of death. And it was supposed to be a 3-day festival. But after this last plague, after Pharaoh released them, they kept on going into the wilderness, into the uncharted territory. Think back to the last time that you realized, that you sensed maybe that God did something for you, and you're going out. Maybe you got your foot wet. But what's our natural thing? It's to pull back, isn't it? When God calls us to uncharted territory, like going out on this dock here, how often do I say, okay, that's enough? Yeah, me too. Rather than the risk, we go back. Most of us, let's face it, prefer the hell of a predictable situation rather than risk the heaven of an unknown one. But these people of God, they kept on going. Now imagine God saying to you and to me, keep on going. Maybe it's one person that you share your faith with. Keep on going. Maybe it's you took some time in the morning, sometime this past week, to open the Scripture, to read a devotion. Keep on going. You set your alarm early in order just to soak in the fact that this is God's day, the day the Lord has made, not my day. Keep on going. Maybe it's you put yourself to bed before you finish the third episode of whatever Netflix you're on right now. And you decided to give yourself the gift of sleep. Do you realize in 2 weeks, we're beginning a new message series called Give Me a Break. And it's about rest. And it's about Sabbath. And it's going to be good. Bring your friends. Keep on going. It's like God saying that to you and me today. Keep on going. I'm taking you, this new you, this freed you. But we're not going back to where you came from. You're going to take this new life that I gave you, and you're going to move into uncharted territory where I already am. In other words, we're moving. I'm going to be with you. You're going with me. What would your reaction be? Moses and Aaron and the Israelites were camped out at the edge of the Red Sea. In Exodus 14, verse 10, look at what it says. As Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, approached, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" Oh my gosh, could that be one of my kids today? I love that that's some of the earliest recorded human writings coming up to Moses. Was it that there weren't enough graves in Egypt? You had to bring us out here to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Out of slavery. Think about what they were saying. And then verse 12, "Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians." We prefer the hell of a situation that's predictable, don't we? Rather than risk the heaven of an uncharted territory. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." How many of you need to hear that and haven't believed God up until this point, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring you today. One of the most insane and awesome rescue efforts ever. But some people in the company of the Israelites almost miss it because of the emotional energy they're expending on their worry. How many of us are missing some of God's greatest miracles, some of God's greatest people, some of God's greatest seasons of our lives because we are so caught up in our worry? We'd rather go back into our old familiar slavery because we're so worried. At least I know the misery I'm going to be in rather than risk whatever new misery is going to come my way. I think of all the things that hold us back, of all the things that hold us back from experiencing God, a simple thing like worry is one of Satan's greatest weapons for you. Whatever your plans are as you graduate, whatever your plans are as you graduate, do not graduate with worry. Because of the worry energy that saps you from experiencing God's best for your life. Now, that's easy for me to say, but how do you get there from here? The secret, well, Billy Graham once said 90% of Christians are living this unfulfilled life. They're missing out on God because they don't understand God in us as the Holy Spirit, with us in every situation of our lives. So what's God's plan for you? What's God's plan for our lives? Whether we're the graduates or the ones that they're going to ask what we're doing with the rest of our lives? God's plan is this, to go with him. Not just toward him. To go with God into whatever depths, into whatever level of living, into whatever sharing of faith, into whatever career you think. You're not just going toward God and toward some career and then it's going to all be good for you. You're going with him in you in every situation. So, we are walking with Jesus, not just toward him. And we're like, well, how can you walk with Jesus? Didn't he live in the first century? Yes. Is he still alive? Yes, but not in his physical body. But his presence is with you and with me because his Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so I want us to make it a habit to look for God's Holy Spirit's lead and then follow. And oftentimes, the best word I can describe it, how many people, if you've walked with Christ and you love his Holy Spirit with you, the word is nudge. How many people here have been nudged by the Holy Spirit? If you have questions, ask one of the people who just raised their hands with me. It so often feels like a nudge, because remember, God doesn't force himself on you. But he can nudge you. We're walking with Jesus, not just toward him. That's the secret, the step-by-step secret of true Christianity. In a recent poll of Americans, though, it says that our number one worry is about our personal finances and the finances of our country. It's almost like 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, do you want to deal with what may be the biggest impediment to the nudging of God in your life? The biggest impediment to you approaching the uncharted territory that he's called you to? The number one impediment might just be worry. And Jesus says, here's how I'm going to tackle worry with you. We're going to talk about money. It's almost like Jesus 2,000 years ago is looking into the future and saying, okay, let's launch a discussion about what you are worried about. In Matthew 6:24, he says this, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and you'll despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, the word for money here is mammon, which means stuff. You can't serve God and serve your stuff. You can't be fully devoted to God and fully devoted to your stuff. They are going to war against each other. And if you aren't experiencing a war, it makes me wonder which you're serving, which I'm serving. So Jesus is saying to his audience, I know what you think about every single day, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. Now remember, Jesus' audience in first century Palestine hearing this was kind of a hand-to-mouth society. It was literally, I've got to find food for me and my family for tomorrow. If Jesus were addressing us here, it would sound different. We don't worry so much about food and clothing. He'd probably say something like this, look, don't worry about if you're going to be able to retire. Don't worry about if your kids are going to get into the college of their choice. Don't worry about whether you're going to be single for the rest of your life. Don't worry about whether you're going to be able to find a job that you love. Don't worry about keeping the job or the economy. Don't worry about the industry. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry about your prodigal son or your prodigal daughter. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about, this is Jesus talking, not me. I would not say this. Jesus is the one that's saying, do not worry about these things. He says to his general audience, don't worry about your life. You can face uncertainty and not worry. You cannot know where you're going to get another job and not worry. You can not know if your kids are safe and not worry. You can not graduate from high school and not worry. I'm going to tell you why. I'm not going into denial. I'm teaching you. You can have uncertainty and not worry at the same time. Let me say that again. You can have uncertainty in your life and not worry at the same time. His point isn't this. It's not, well, go be irresponsible. It's going to work out. Trust in fate. There's a lot of messages that say that. That's not what Jesus is saying. God's inviting us to trust Him as the Heavenly Father, to work hard, to set goals, to learn, to knock on doors for your opportunities. But once you do all that you can in the now, rest in Him. How do you rest in Him? Know this, if you've given yourself over to Christ, you are not alone ever again. Even as you're breaking new ground, your traveling companion for this new ground is God in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not like the force out there floating somewhere. The Holy Spirit, though, seems mysterious to us because He's not some set of formulas. He's not some doctrine or set of beliefs. He is God. My third grade Sunday school teacher, Mary June Wilkinson, said, kids, the Holy Spirit is like your conscience. It's not exactly the same as your conscience, but that gave me so much help as a third grader to understand that idea of God being with me. And here's the deal. He's not doctrine or formulas or beliefs. He's God, and all He wants is a love relationship with you. He wants you to continually come to Him with your hurts, with your pitfalls, with your joys, because He dwells in you. He is with you. And you don't have to see everything, just Him. Now, Jesus says, I'm giving you a gift. On the last night, the night that He's betrayed, He says, I'm giving you a gift, the counselor. And the word in Greek for counselor is a compound word, parakletos. The paraclete. You might have heard it said if you've been in a Bible class sometime. Para is the word for alongside of, or very close to, like they were alongside of the river. They would use in the Greek the word para. And that's a part of who God is with us. And then kaleo means to beckon or call. So God calls us alongside Him to fellowship with Him. He calls us to repentance and salvation. He always calls us to something. Now the Holy Spirit Himself is called to be alongside you in every season, leading you in God's ways, leading you out of your own, leading you away from sin's ways. He's leading you to the uncharted territory, which is very likely the safest place you could go when you go with God. Your uncharted territory might be in East Lansing, Kalamazoo. Your uncharted territory may be someplace far away. It could be to a new part in yourself where you're not just going to fall into the old habits because you're outside your comfort zone. But the uncharted territory in which God's purposes are ours, in those places, I'm not going to worry because I'm trusting the only one who can do something about tomorrow. So as you dive into whatever your uncharted territory is, as you're breaking ground, whether it's in your heart or outside today, go, because you will never face it alone. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, Lord God, I know that you live inside me, but I never understood that you're also side by side with me as my partner in life, as my partner in my marriage, as my partner in parenting, in my employment, in who I am in you. Lord, I've treated you like some kind of invisible guest when the reality is that you have been sent to me to be at my side as my helper and my standby in times of need. So Lord, please forgive me for overlooking you, for ignoring you, when you've been waiting so long to assist me in my life. God, today I throw open my arms and my heart, and I say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Guide me. I receive you as my side-by-side partner, and I pray all of this, facing uncharted territory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we have two things before we head outside. The first is I'd like Tom Snyder to come right down the middle aisle because Tom got ordained at our annual conference last week.
I didn't tell him to do this.
Thank you. And as I'm saying a word about Tom, if the new members could come around the outsides and then come through the outside aisles, like split in half and then meet in the middle alongside us right here. Tom was called by God for years and years and years.
He's a little slow.
To being an active layman in the life of our congregation. To be a leader here among us, to build half the buildings on our campus, and to lead us in doing that. To be called to Haiti as a layman and a leader. You can come right around, right up to here. And more recently, God called Tom to seminary and to full-time Christian ministry. And we are just praising God that God has called Tom to this congregation. We are just thankful for him. So we are celebrating his ordination. After we break ground, Tom and Beth are going to come back around this way and be right by the doors to the atrium where there's celebration cake and coffee and a chance for you to greet them personally and to let them know that you're praying for him. The other thing that I wanted to do, we're not going to do it by name in this service, but everybody up here, just wave at the people out there. Yeah, you can wave back. Because these folks are the 30 people who are joining our church. And I have no doubt that God called you here. And I go back to what Kristen Kill said that just grabs so many of our hearts when she said, this church, Dexter UMC, is a soft place to land and a strong place to launch. And that's exactly the vision that we have. And that God has brought you here means you can't park in the visitor parking anymore. And that you're committing to serving this place with your prayers and presence and gifts and service and witness. And we are just honored to be a part of your family and for you to be a part of this family, an amazing family of God. And so we want to make sure that you head out. Why don't you start the parade and follow Tom out? I invite everybody to stand. We're going to get some traveling music from the band, but let's march straight out to the kitchen through those doors.